You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Get on the grid, sports grid. I am Morenci. Morenci Unfiltered begins now. Let's do this thing. We appreciate you joining us. We're going to talk some basketball. We'll talk some football. We'll talk everything else in between. It's been too long since we've had Pete Yiannopoulos on the show. Joined us on a weekly basis when we were playing basketball. And I think, you know, Pete was even, I think you were on vacation when all this crazy stuff started to go down, actually. But it's the first time we've spoken in about a month or so, I believe, at least on the show. We've spoken online a little bit, but how you doing, Pete?
Doing good, Gabe. Doing good. It's been too long, but definitely some uncharted, unprecedented times right now. Hopefully we can get this thing controlled and get back to sports, but health and safety comes first.
Yeah, so I remember like about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, were you on vacation? Were you out of the country? Like, were you when all this stuff happened?
Yeah, I was out of the country at the beginning of end of February, actually. End of February, and I got back into town probably around March 7th or 8th. And then about 6-7 days later, things started to really ramp up, not only in North America, but globally. But it was good to get back a lot sooner than when everything went down.
Yeah, yeah, you beat the panic rush on the way back. So yeah, it's tough times and I think it's going to continue to be tough times, for a while. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. But team sports are sort of one of the last, things that are most important in the real world right now. And, you know, basketball in the real world, unfortunately, have collided a lot this year. And you look at 2020, David Stern passed away, Kobe Bryant passed away. And then, you know, the season gets shut down. And unfortunately, Karl Anthony Towns' mother, who has been in a coma for the past month due to coronavirus, finally has passed, 59 years old. He was very close with his mother as well. She went to a lot of games, a lot of pictures, as you guys, I'm sure you've seen, of them together, which, you know, just puts another face on this for people that don't seem to realize the severity of it. And also for the people that just sort of think that these guys can just go and play in Vegas and quarantine themselves and leave their families behind. I've told this, you know these guys. People think that they're not real or something, right? Because they're good basketball players or you see them on TV every day. But these guys are a good basketball player. Like Kyle Lowry is still a father. Like if you ask Kyle Lowry, what is he first, a Toronto Raptor or a father and a husband? He's going to say a father and a husband. Right, than he is more so a Toronto Raptor. So I think, you know, Karl Anthony Towns' mother's passing should put that in perspective for people that just expect these guys to go and move into a bubble and live in Las Vegas and play for the next 2 months.
No, you're absolutely right. And my condolences go out to Karl Anthony Towns and his family. Jacqueline Cruz Towns, you know, passes away so young. And she was, as you mentioned, very close to Karl Anthony at a lot of the Timberwolves games. I remember her being at the Kentucky Wildcats games up in Lexington, Kentucky as well. And for people that think that, you know, this is not going to happen to me, just, you know, open the TV, look at the news. This is affecting everybody and everywhere, no matter what age group you are. Obviously, the older you are, you're more susceptible to having more complications. But as we've seen, a lot of young people, you know, there was a basketball coach in Toronto, 45 years old, my age, you know, passed away from coronavirus. There was the cameraman, the photographer from the New York Post. I mean, he passed away. It's affecting everybody right now. And I think we have to follow what our officials are telling us to do, right? Social distancing, stay home. And then if everybody does this collectively, Gabe, we're going to get to the point where we can go back to what was a normal life. And that includes sports and sports gambling and attending games and watching games. So the quicker everybody does that, then the quicker things will get better.
Yeah. And I think the attending games part could be a little ways away. So let me ask you then, what do you think? Cause let's get real. There's big money at stake here. Right. And this is what it always comes down to. I talked about it on the TV show. The WWE, Vince McMahon, has been taping shows as of late. And he's announced that he's going live. And people are wondering, what the hell are you doing? It turns out, while it's in a television contract, he can only, like, give them, like, 6 tape shows a year type thing. And he's already exceeded it. Now, I find it hard to believe the network would actually squeeze him on this now. But it's the same thing with the NBA, Pete. I guess the definitive number of games so the NBA gets their money is 70, right? So they're hell-bent on getting to 70 games, and they were, you know, I think teams were basically at about 62, 63, 64, whatever in that range. So they were at, you know, they want to try to squeeze something in so they don't have to give money back to the networks, and it always comes back to money. But let me ask you, let's say hypothetically, because you know, you follow soccer, so you see, like, the Bundesliga is starting up. They're trying to, at least. They're attempting to. No fans and an accelerated season, et cetera, and empty stadiums. If the NBA does it somehow, let's say, like, in August, you know, they're like, you know what? We're playing the playoffs, and we're going to do it in Las Vegas with no fans, and we're just going to sort of – we're going to play best of 3 of 5. Is that a real NBA champion that they're getting? It's not, to me. Because I see the quote, we're determined, they're determined to have a 2020 champion. I think you're determined to cash the 2020 checks. I think that's what you're more determined to do. And is it really a 2020 champion? Or is it just the team that won a tournament in Vegas is the champion? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that. You know, Gabe, over the past 4 weeks, we've been watching so many past games, right? Not only from the NCAA, but a lot of the recent games, and as you know, the Raptors won last year. We've been showing the games locally here in Montreal and Toronto and Canada. And I'm watching the Raptors, you know, beating the Sixers in Game 7 and how important that crowd was for them. The game against Milwaukee in Game 6 where they played at home and they took over Giannis and coming back from behind and thriving over the energy of the crowd. I mean, home court advantage is very prevalent, probably in the NBA, the most prevalent than any other sport. The home team generally wins 80% of the time at home. Now yep. You're going to have the playoffs and you're going to play in front of an empty arena. You know, where there's no real advantage there. You're going to crown a champion that just went to best of 5 a couple of series.
And part of being a champion is the grind of winning on the road, right? I mean, the Raptors won 3 times in Oakland. Teams, like, right. That's the whole part of it. Like, are you mentally tough enough to... And, you know, one thing is, Pete, they're all in the same boat if it happened. So it's not like anybody would have, like, more advantage, disadvantage, but I guess they could because you talk about how home court is so problem. That's what I'm saying. It's not a real champion in the sense of a champion. It is and it isn't. Like, I don't want to put an asterisk next to this, but you know, like if we go as a Raptor fan, are we really defending our championship if we go play in for 6 weeks in Vegas? Is that defending our championship, or is it just,
no,
you know,
not.
You know,
it's
you know
not.
What I mean,
it's
right?
It's unfortunate because the Raptors, the way they were playing right now, 48 wins, 16 losses. I mean, they were just playing tremendous basketball. And I think people started really respecting this team, minus Kawhi, having such a great record, the third best record in the NBA. But at the same time, it's always been the first to 16, right? And right now, that's not going to be the first to 16. And it's not going to be public or fans there. But I think at the end of the day, and I'm speaking to a lot of executives, coaches, players, I mean, the consensus that I get from speaking to them is that there's going to be a season. There's going to be a postseason because of the money that's at stake, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show. There's no question that the TV deals, I mean, you look at, you know, ESPN and Turner Sports, you're talking about a $24 billion deal.
The ratings would be massive, too. Like, even if they were able to come, because honestly, I think the NBA is more flexible. As you know, they're more progressive. They're definitely more flexible than other leagues. The NHL is hell-bent on, we're not cutting into October, right? We're not screwing up next year's schedule to save this year. And they've been pretty vocal about it, like not screwing around. So the NHL isn't really even pretending that they're going to play. Robin Leonard's in the NHL, a goalie for the Knights. He's in Sweden. He did an interview. He's like, zero chance. You know, he goes, we're just hoping we can play in October. The NBA, I think they're open to it. I think the NBA wanted to shorten the season anyways, but they really couldn't do it because it's just hard to take money away from yourself. So now they're almost forced to. That almost happens organically. And I've heard, you know, I haven't, from what I gather, is I've heard Silver and NBA owners, they're not opposed to delaying the start of next season to get the playoffs in, as you stated. Like, they're hell-bent on it. When they say we're getting a 2020 champion, I think they mean it. Like, even if it's in September, I think they mean it. Which, that's what I'm saying, it's not the same season. It's like whoever happens to win this tournament wins the championship.
It's incredible. And I think when you look at the relationship that the NBA has, with its players and the NBAPA, I think that they are true partners, and I think that's why there's dialogue here from the get-go, and they're trying to be flexible to see, hey, do the players want to play? Yes. Do they want to get paid? Yes. I think everybody wants that. And I think, hey, they're going to be off now for, it's been what, a month? It's going to be almost 2 months, potentially 3 months?
March 11th was the last game. So March 11th to June, March 11th to April 11th, so we're over a month now.
Right.
They're not playing May 11th. That's not happening. So that's 2 months. June, I think the most realistic scenario is maybe they would start sort of practicing in June. You know what I'm saying? And then I think what's more realistic is like August, September type thing. Because the playoffs would take 6 weeks to 2 months, right? If they're really doing it. And they're already saying, well, we'll make best 3 of 5. So you're right. It's 2 months. You know, so let's say September and October. And then they start the season in December, like, you know what I mean? That's just sort of the unofficial start. That's what
draft,
I was getting at before.
Free agency, they have a little bit of the summer league. And then they just, look, instead of starting end of October, you'll start early December, right? The players don't need another 3 months off. They already just got that. So, listen, I think at the end of the day, it all comes down to the health of the players, testing. Could they get everybody in one city and be able to test players, coaches, cameramen who are there and get the result instantaneously and then move forward? I think that's the best bet. Is it Las Vegas? Is it the Bahamas? I think there's some options on the table. Again, at the end of the day, this is not a lockout game. This is not where there's a rift between the owners and the players.
Exactly.
It's a pandemic, right? So you have to be flexible. You have to be innovative. And I think that the NBA are always leaders in that. That stems from the late, great David Stern and now with Adam Silver. So I think the NBA will play games. I think the players want to play that. And when you look at the star power of LeBron James and Giannis and the Chris Pauls, I think that they want to play the game. So, hey, hopefully this gets under control. They put them in there. I think it's going to be different. Is it going to be a little bit weird? Yes. But there's such a craving right now, Gabe, and I think you and I are in the same predicament. We want sports so bad right now. And if they start playing basketball, the end of the regular season, a few games, and then the playoffs, can you imagine the ratings, how high they'll be, and the players will be energized, they'll be healthy. Does Kevin Durant come back? Klay Thompson? Well, the Warriors won't be in the playoffs this year. But again,
well, it's funny you say that, because there's actually a push Why don't we just have a play-in tournament for everybody? A couple of wild cards, wink, wink, to get the Warriors in.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Well, they've been to five finals.
They're too far out of the playoffs for that. You know what I'm saying? Like PK Subban was bitching. Our boy PK, he said, "Oh, I heard that they were talking about like they want to just jumpstart in the playoffs." And he's like, "That's garbage. Like I think they were 3 points out or something only." Like he's like, "I don't accept that. I won't like." He's like, you have to have a play-in tournament or something then, because we were going to make the playoffs. Yeah, were you? I mean,
hey,
and
PK, Gabe. I love PK, but you know that. But PK, you're dead wrong here, man. Take the L, work on your game, get help, come back next year. But here's one more thing, Gabe. How about Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? He's got 2 years left before his contract's up. I mean, this is vital importance for Milwaukee to play a season and hopefully get to the finals or maybe win one. Because if this season's washed, then next year you just 1 year and the Bucks get eliminated early. Giannis is gone. They want to play. They want to re-sign Giannis long term.
So it's after next year's season he's a free agent then.
Correct.
Wow. Correct. And they're losing this year. Yeah. And that's another thing too. There's no way in hell that players are going to say, "Oh yeah, well that year didn't count," right? They're going to say, "As if it didn't count. I played 62 games. That counted." Where, yeah, exactly. You're chuckling now, but there's going to be like, yeah, it's all lovey-dovey. Everyone's on the same page until you're not, right? And it's going to be like, yeah, well, yeah, the teams are going to have to bite it. It's one of those deals. Like, they played, like, so long into this year that it's going to have to count as a year of service. It just does.
It will. And, again, there's a lot of unrestricted free agents that are playing their last year of their contract.
Wow.
Marc Gasol played his last game as a Raptor.
Yeah.
He's a free agent. Are they going to look to sign him? There's so many things on the table here. But again, if we can just get them to play, I think it's going to really, really make a lot of people happy right now, players, coaches, fans. And again, this has to be controlled, but there's so many subplots to whether they're going to have the season, or the postseason, and is it really, as you mentioned, a real championship if you're not going to play best out of seven, four rounds. So I can't wait to see what happens. But again, let's hope that this gets under control rather quickly right now.
And, you know, that's the thing. Basketball, the crowd is such a big part of the emotion in the arena of the game. So you wonder, like, I was thinking about that. Like, is Serge Ibaka still going to be punching people and choking people without fans? You know what I'm saying? Will he be as fired up? But I think yes. And listen, you know, you played basketball, you coached basketball, Pete, assistant coach at UMass before. You know that some of the most competitive games, you don't need fans, right? I mean, hell, I've played streetball games where people have broken their arms. I got my nose broken. I didn't need fans for it to be intense, right? Like, things can get, shit can get real without fans. And, you know, it's almost like the dream team. You know, when they said, "Oh, you should have seen the practices, right? The scrimmages, those were like over the top." So I almost like that aspect of it. You know what I mean? That it has that sort of street ball. You know, we'll really be able to hear the players talk. You know what I mean? On the court now.
We'll even hear them a lot more. And the thing about a basketball game, you know, Gabe, you've been to so many games. The fans are going wild. There's the music going on as well. It's an event, right? It's not just basketball. But as we've seen during the All-Star game where the NBA got creative and changed the rules, you saw how much the NBA players went after each other in that fourth quarter, the first one to get that certain amount of points. And I think that's what you're going to see here in the playoffs because of that. As you said, it's in the DNA of basketball players, whether you're professional, you're collegiate, or you're just playing out in the park with friends, the elbows are going to come out. The trash talking is going to be there. You don't want to lose. Basketball players hate losing more than they love winning, and that's why the game is so great. So I'm going to be very interesting to see whether the fans are there or not. Those players are going to go out, and you know that everybody wants LeBron James, Gabriel Morenci, to have a chance to win a title at 35 years old and in year 17. So you know they want to get LeBron.
No, I don't.
Everybody say the Lakers are going to win this.
I'm not everybody. It's funny you say that. Everybody. Morenci Unfiltered, get on the grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day.
all major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Frenchy on the Filter continues to talk about basketball with Pete Annapolis right now. You were just talking about LeBron. So, you know, that's the question. It changes everybody's game. You brought up the Greek Freak. I don't think it hurts them that much, to be honest. I think, you know what I mean? Sometimes getting away from something helps a bit, but Giannis hasn't shot the basketball in a month. He has not touched the basketball. I shouldn't say that. He hasn't shot at a rim. He doesn't have a basket, which I find kind of crazy. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have a basket. And he said he's been working out. Middleton said he doesn't either, which surprises me, being a three-point shooter. Middleton says he's been dribbling in his house and stuff, and he's been working out. You mentioned LeBron. Who does it? Does this help Kawhi? I imagine it would. If it would help anybody, I think it would help Kawhi moving forward here, Pete, just being refreshed in like a two-month burst like this.
Oh, no question. I would agree with your sentiments. You look at the players that have been through the grind, and Kawhi with that long playoff run last year with the Raptors, and then he comes here with the Clippers. Paul George has been injured. That's going to help Paul as well. He's going to be at 100%. So is Kawhi. And you look at the Lakers, five and a half games up on the Clippers. So I think the Clippers, a game and a half on the three seed Denver. So there's a collision course there if those two were to ever meet. And, oh, my God, can you imagine the star power of LeBron?
In an empty arena, which is just so crazy. Like,
I know. We were all thinking about, can you imagine how the Staples Center would have been in the best of seven series between those two teams? But there's some, hey, you're going to look like this is going to, you mentioned at the NCAA tournament.
Well, it might
tournament.
Be at the Staples Center. This is going to just be no one there.
It could be, yeah. But it's going to have a feeling of the NCAA tournament. You might have some upsets. Teams like, you know.
Oh, guaranteed.
You look at the Mavericks as a 7 seed or the Rockets as a 6 seed. I mean, they could do some damage. The Sixers,
like you said, it's a shortened. It's like, it, you know, you're off. If these guys are off for 4 months, the Bucks come back. Maybe Middleton's cold for a week. You know what I mean? It's like, it's almost like a preseason. You know what it reminds me of, except it's even longer, Pete, and in college football. And it's frustrating because college football teams will play their last game December 5th, and then they play in the playoffs January 13th or something.
I know.
And yeah, and it's like they're starting over. And it's the same crap all the time. Like, you know, one team's all right and another team's offense just sucks. You know what I mean? Like, it's a timing offense. It was precision and timing. They had it down. They've been off for 5.5 weeks. And, you know, some coaches practice better and they don't. It's just so random to me. You know what I mean? Like, Milwaukee were the best team in the NBA this year. And there's no guarantee they win in a format like this. They lose, like you said, they lose their home court. They, you know, they're not as hot anymore. I sort of think the Raptors would be fine just because Nick Nurse is so good in anything, it seems. And the Raptors players would be hungry. Let me ask you, though, and you brought it up earlier, the NBA, you know, with the music and the crowd and the noise and everything, the NBA is like the only league, really, P. I was thinking about it. It has music during the game. You know what I mean?
There's
music. Like, yeah, there's music in hockey. You know, people, what do you mean during the game? There's music in hockey, but in between play. Like when they drop the puck, the music stops right on cue. Like the music stops. NFL, same thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like they'll have a timeout and stuff and they'll play a rock, you know, they'll crank some music during the, you know, during a timeout or whatever. But when, like, when Russell will, when the quarterback is hunting the ball, whatever, like they got to cut the music. NBA is the only league, guys. Like they play music. You know what I mean? Like doom, doom, like, and teams like it. And in fact, I don't know if it was in San Antonio where it was like a year or two ago. And I guess the speaker, something broke with the music system. And they played without music, basically. And players said after, Pete, it messed them up. they were like, I didn't like it, man, without the music. And they were like, you sort of get into a rhythm. It's sort of like it's like a symphony, right? Like they're bouncing the ball to the music almost. Like it's part of it. And I was thinking that in an empty arena, you wouldn't just have it dead silent, would you? Like, wouldn't you play a little music and stuff and just have it the same to sort of have that vibe that to sort of, you know, pump in a little bit? Because that was the thing I want to ask you about the NBA horse, too. It was just a little dry. You know what I mean? They did their best. I'm not complaining about it, but it was just sort of dry. And they got to think about that. Like, I've been watching wrestling without fans, and the All Elite guys and Chris Jericho, they're better without fans. Like, it doesn't affect them. It's almost like they have the charisma to do it. WWE feels weak without the fans. It's so built on the fans. It's all fluff, right?
Hulk Hogan would never be Hulk Hogan if there wasn't fans, because he got all pumped up.
Like Stone Cold Steve Austin with the, you know, hell yeah, and everything. It doesn't work. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't work. So would you suggest, like, they play, like, music and you sort of try to get a vibe going on in the arena? Would you agree with that?
Well, I think what you're going to see, Gabe, is you're going to see what's been happening in the Orlando Summer League and the Las Vegas Summer League, right? It's going to be that type of atmosphere. I think the arena in Orlando was the practice gym, so the angle with the TV was a little bit off, where it looked like the gym was too small for these NBA players. So I think you're going to need something like Las Vegas, where it's a big arena.
Yes, yes.
So the angle of the crowd, of the camera, shows...
They don't want it to look small. You're right, where it looks cheap, where they're squeezed in a gym. You know what I mean?
You remember
right.
The Orlando Summer League? It's at their practice facility. It's like the Raptors playing a game in their practice facility. There's no stands, right? It's just four walls, and there's a practice court.
I think you're right. Like, they might be able to say, hey, we're playing in the Staples Center, but it'll be empty, right? Or, you know, is that fair? Like, Vegas is the place, right? T-Mobile Arena. You put it in the arena, and it's empty. So you can get the good camera sight lines.
What I would do is this, Gabe. I would do is this. Whatever arena it is, the home team, right, gets to put their T-shirts in every empty seat like it was their home game, but there's no fans that are going to sit there. So at least you're giving the home team a somewhat of an advantage that you're going to have.
So it looks like the same thing before they're shooting. Exactly. It's like the
– You'll have
how about this, Pete? Did you see in Taiwan the baseball? They put robot fans.
Oh my God! I saw that this morning. I'm like, oh, is this what it's come to right now?
They put robot like mannequins and robot fans in the stands wearing jerseys, and the best part is, Pete, they're wearing masks.
Oh my God! There you go. Anything is possible as we get into these times right now. But just looking, right, the Milwaukee Bucks, Gabe, they were 28-3 at home this year. They lost three games at home out of 31. And that home court advantage is gone. So they're going to have to adjust there. The only good thing now is, you know, they had lost three in a row with Giannis's injury. So, again, I think that everybody's going to have to adjust. The coaches are going to have to adjust. I like what you said about Nick Nurse and looking at what he did last year. Beating Philly, beating the Bucks, beating Golden State. I think coaching is going to be so prevalent right now. The assistant coaches, the game plan, how do you get guys to really amp up their defense and their transition without the fans motivating them? But I think at the end of the day right now, as you said, everybody's in the same spot. So everybody's playing under the same rules. If we can get some basketball, even if it's in an empty arena, man, oh man, it's going to be something. The referees, how many camera people do you allow there? How many broadcasters do you allow there in the arena as well? Everything's on the table right now.
Yeah, and we're still months away from this, you know. And I've been pretty pessimistic in the sense of, nah, they're not playing and they're not, you know, but there's so much money at stake, and the NBA does not seem to be waving a flag on this. And like, they're willing to, you know, as we mentioned earlier, they are willing to move their season, postpone the start of the next season. They're hell bent on doing this. If there's money, they don't want to not have a champion put in place. But like I said, you know, as far as like NFL is concerned, I don't think they're starting in September personally. All right. I think it'll be a little bit delayed. Yet, you know, we're going to see right now, Pete, this is where politics and real life and sports all collide, right? There's a push, obviously, for some in some states and with President Trump to open things up, right? And then there's a resistance among local governors that have to deal with the dead bodies. And the sports leagues themselves are sort of realistic about this, right? And I don't know, like, you know, basically like college. Like, how do you have college sports if students are not allowed on campus? If it's not safe enough for the students, why is it safe enough for the players? Yeah, I can't believe, and Pete's a big college basketball guy, I can't believe, Pete, after losing the revenue that they lost with March Madness this year, that they're going to want to get screwed around next year. They're going to want to start next year college basketball.
Oh, no question. They're going to want to start it, and maybe they're going to want to tweak and have, like, maybe a second tournament or allow more players, more teams in there. Listen, the NCAA lost, as you know, billions and billions of dollars, because that tournament, the NCAA tournament outside of the World Cup and the Olympics, is the most popular tournament in the world. You don't have to be a basketball fan.
You see Huggins, Coach Huggins, Bob Huggins said, he said we should play the tournament before the year starts next year. He said there should be a tournament. Now, it's not the same kids. That's the problem. And they're not pros, so they're not in a contract. They're forced to come back and play. So it's not really feasible, right? So it's just funny that he threw that out there. And I know a couple other coaches wanted to do that as well. It's going to be a challenge, man, until there's a vaccination, Pete, right? I think the NBA is different. They have more money. They can – it's not state-funded schools. I think – and I brought this up for college football, Pete. I think what you're going to see is sort of a divide. Like, I think the Big Ten, the ACC, the Pac-12 – they're going to say we're not playing, or we're only playing in one stadium, or you know what I mean? They're going to come up with stuff, or they're going to postpone stuff. Meanwhile, I think the SEC, the Sun Belt, look, you saw the Southern states were, you know, very, very, they resisted like closing in the first place, Pete. So, you know, they're going to be quick to open in the first place.
No question they are. And I think with the jurisdiction with the NCAA, the conferences have the power to do what they want. Right.
Yes. So yeah.
You're going to have some that are going to be like, hey, we're playing. Some are going to be like, you know what? We're hesitant. We won't.
I think
play
that's what we're going to see.
Non-conference team.
Like, look at Duke. They were the first team out of March Madness and the conference tournaments. Like, they pulled out before anyone canceled anything. Like, Duke, like, released a statement. We're not playing. We pulled our students. And they basically, like, were the first ones. And I hate to, like, gentrify it like this, but the fact is, like, Duke's a smart school, right? Virginia's a smart school. Big Ten schools are smart. Like, put it this way. Like, Governor Phil Murphy, he's the governor of New Jersey, okay? And I saw him asked about the Giants and the Jets, and he didn't want to say no, but he basically said no, right, that they weren't going to play. Like, I really doubt Rutgers are playing football. I you know, at least with fans, I don't see it. So I'm just stating that you're right, on the East Coast – and I explained that to someone too. People think the NCAA run things. The NCAA are like a pimp, essentially. Like, they're like they're supposed to be like a neutral party that oversees the schools. The schools really run things, right? Like, the NCAA own March Madness. They own that tournament, but they don't own the Big Ten. The Big Ten is independent. Like Pete said, like, the SEC can say, screw you, we're doing what we want. We don't need you, the NCAA. The NCAA was only created to police other schools because they all cheated, right? So, like, it's funny. It's almost ironic. So, like, in the old days, guys, it was like, you know, Alabama would say to the NCAA, you guys better keep your eye on Auburn, right? Because, you know, but ultimately, you know it, Pete. You were in the NCAA. They don't control anything. They control the tournament. Like, same thing with the bowl games and stuff. They have jack nothing to do with the college football playoff. People don't realize that. Like, the NCAA has nothing to do with it. It's a private committee. Nothing to
and
do with
it. And the NCAA, Gabe, they don't make the rules. They just enforce the rules that the schools and their presidents create in every single conference.
Yes, that they agree to, right? Yeah.
That's why people, when it comes to
should athletes get paid? And people are like, oh, we hate the NCAA.
Oh, you're right. It's not uniform, right? Yeah, some conference might say sure, and another conference would say screw that, right?
They're just there to enforce the rules that were created by each and every individual school and conference. So I would have liked, again, but this comes down to a legal battle, that all those kids that were seniors get to come back for another year. But do they want to come back? A lot of them want to go to the NBA. And then if they would come back, then you could, as Bob Huggins said, had a preseason tournament because everybody came in. I think the quality would go up because now you'd have 50-year seniors playing. You'd have the freshmen coming in. But then you'll see what's happening still with all these transfers happening.
Let me just ask you then. What about, I never really thought about this. So what about a kid, how will this work? You're supposed to be one and done. What if there's no one next year? Can you just go to the, can you go to the NBA after, or do you have to play like college again?
Well, technically you have to be 1 year removed out of high school
to be eligible for the NBA NCAA, draft. Right? Yeah.
So it's essentially if you don't 19, play at all,
right? Yeah.
Exactly. So you could either, one, you either play in NCAA, two, you go overseas and play somewhere, or three, you just work out sort of like what James Wiseman did.
I guarantee you, Pete, there's got to be a few recruits right now that are thinking, screw this. I'm not dealing with this campus crap next year. I'll go to LA. I'll go to that, you know, it's a bunch of camps and agents and people to get you ready for the draft. I got to believe that some kids are going to tap out and not play college ball this year.
Here's the thing, okay? And during these times right now, I've been watching so many 30 for 30s from ESPN. So I'm rewatching them, right?
Well, you got a new one coming. The Jordan one's coming. The Bulls are coming.
Oh, yeah. But so many that I love. There's one that I rewatched this weekend, and I thought of you. It was Catholics Against Convicts, 1988. Miami. That was the T-shirts, Lou Holtz, Tony Rice, Jimmy Johnson. That was just incredible. Anybody, I recommend to rewatch it, or if you haven't watched it. But on this topic of conversation that you just said, the 30 for 30 for Felipe Lopez. The Dominican Dream, if you remember, out of high school, he was ranked the number one player, right, in America.
I remember. He's from New York. Yeah, he was on the cover of Time.
Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, he had Time. He was like the next Jordan, I think they called him.
The next Jordan, the Dominican Jordan. And Sonny Vaccaro, the big guy from Nike and then Adidas, he recommended to him and his family that, hey, you got $10 million guaranteed if you go to the draft. You should go right away. And then he wanted to play college. And then once he played college, he was still a good player. But the longer you stay in college, the more we see your deficiencies. And I think Felipe Lopez had to play 4 years, and his stock went down and didn't really have a good career. If he would have gone straight out of high school, he would have been a top five pick, maybe the number one pick.
Great call.
About $10 to $15 million in guaranteed money. So again,
not everybody's Andrew Luck that can stay a year. We got to get out of here, Pete, and I always appreciate your time. It's great to catch up with you again. But that's a good thing that your boy Calipari that you were with understands for the kids. He can be greedy and try to hang on, but he knows, this kid's not great, and, hey, they're offering you the money now. Take it, right? Because the longer you stay, the more you're going to be exposed. Pete, Yiannopoulos, stay safe, Pete.
You too, Gabe. All the best.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
get on the grid, sports grid. Thanks to Pete Annapolis for joining us. Enjoyed talking basketball. We could have went on for hours, actually, me and Pete, talking hoops. But we want to spend a couple of minutes with Andrew McKinnis, sportsmemo.com, who's also a big basketball fan and, of course, a basketball capper as well. And we'll get into the NFL draft a little bit here, McKinnis. But let me ask you, I asked Pete this question. We can say the same thing about the Stanley Cup if they do something. But if they play the playoffs, let's say in Las Vegas, they play the playoffs in Las Vegas, there's no fans, they go rapid fire, best of three or five, bam, bam, bam. You know what I mean? Is that like really the 2020 champion? Or was that the champion of like the Vegas tournament? You know, like part of being a champion is winning on the road. Part of being a champion is going through the whole grind of the road trips and flying around and the ups and downs of the playoffs. Listen, I'll take it if that's what they give us. But are the Raptors really defending their championship if we're just playing a tournament in Las Vegas?
Well, I think there's two sides to it. There's number one, which is, hey, look, everybody has the exact same playing field.
That's what we said. We said, hey, everyone's in the same boat. It's true.
Exactly. And, you know, you can still look back on it, let's say 15, 20 years from now, if you're one of those players that wins that championship, you're going to still feel good about yourself, and nobody should take that away from them. However, Gabe, at the end of the other side of it, number two, is that it's still always going to be different. It's always going to be separate. It's always going to be a different thing. And I think to everybody, you know, normalcy is what everyone looks for. Comfort is what people look for. And anything out of the blue or out of the ordinary is definitely different. So I think at the other end of it, you look back and say, you know what, that wasn't a real NBA championship, or that wasn't a real Stanley Cup championship. Because the fact of the matter is, Gabe, it isn't. It really isn't a real one. But, you know,
but it is real in a sense. You're raising good points, but it is real.
No, it is.
Because this is our new real world. I mean, let's say the fact is, there might not be fans in sports for 2 years, bro, until there's a vaccination, right? Like 18 months type thing, let's say. Year and a half, 2 years till there's fans. So what are we going to say? That every game that's played for the next 2 years doesn't count? No, right? It's just sort of the era that it's in. I'm just stating it's unique, right? It's unique. And I think it screws teams. Like, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you just lost your home court advantage. You know what I mean? You had home court advantage throughout the playoffs. Now, you know, you don't have home court advantage. I guess it's still somewhat fair if they played because they have the standings and the seedings, so you're not losing. It's not like, and I said a tournament. It's not like, you know what I mean, you wouldn't get credit for being the 2 seed or the 3 seed, so you're still going to play inferior teams along the way, yet it is, it's a unique situation. I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. I don't know if you saw, I tweeted it. There was a poll, and it said 72% of people said that sports should wait until fans are allowed to be back, until they play again. And I tweeted, McKinnis, 100% of sports gamblers disagree. Because as a sports gambler, I don't care if there's fans or not, right? Just give me the damn game. Like, I bet on a lot of Marlin games. Like, there's no fans. I used to go to Expo game. Like there's all no fans. You know, I think NBA would have an effect, but it is what it is. So let me ask you, you follow hockey closely. Hockey really hasn't had many of these plans. There was sort of a loose story about they were looking in North Dakota. A story came up the other day. Saskatoon in Saskatchewan in Canada is a place. Hasn't been hit hard by it. They have a bunch of arenas. It's a smaller town that would probably be very happy if the NHL moved there for a couple of months. Yet, I don't see it happening. I just have a chance the NBA pulls it off. I think hockey's just too tough. Too many guys on the ice. Too many guys on the bench. 23 guys sitting next to each other. And like, it's just, NBA's different. Like, it's just, and even NBA's dangerous, but I don't see it happening. What are you hearing about hockey? What do you think?
Well, I share the exact same thoughts that you share as far as, you know, NBA comparison to NHL. And I think, first of all, it's more so just the amount of players it takes to run it, the amount of people it takes to run it. But, and even just the standings wise, let's be honest here. I think you and I have spoken about it before, but with the NBA, there's a lot less upsets. In the NHL, easily a wild card could make it to the second round or the conference finals or whatever, and it wouldn't shock anybody. So I think it's actually more important to play that regular style, you know, home and away type stuff for the NHL versus the NBA. And I get it, what you're saying about Milwaukee losing their home court, but it just seems more realistic. Like, let's look at what they do with you know, the draft picks and the players, the NBA Summer League, that kind of stuff. Like, it's going to be something like that kind of style for the NBA. I just can't see the NHL doing a tournament style, or even just finishing it off in one location. It just seems too out of the norm. And it's funny, Gabe, I've been reading an article before I came out with you, and, you know, some players were saying, hey, look, we already have our playoff position locked in. I would have no problem just hop right into the playoffs. And some of the players are saying, well, we had 12 games left. We want to fight for a spot. It's not really fair for us. And then we had the players like the Detroit Red Wings, the New Jersey Devils. Those guys are saying, well, you know what? Give us a chance. You know, let's play a 31-team tournament. Now, I think that's a bad idea.
Well, that's a good point. I brought it up earlier to P.K. Subban. I saw an interview with P.K. Subban, who said he wouldn't support them going right to the playoffs because he thinks the Devils were hot and were going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, that's the whole thing. That, you know, if you're the Pelicans, you know, like in the NBA, even no one really had a beef. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, I guess you were four games out with 16 games to go, but, you know, at least the NBA got through it. You're right. The NHL, it was so close, man. So many teams were still in a playoff hunt. And quite frankly, the NHL, it's bigger. Like, there's more players to deal with. It's a problem. And honestly, a plan like this to pull off takes a lot of people to make it work, McInnes. You know what I mean? It also takes a lot of money, like testing, money, logistics. And quite frankly, I don't know if the NHL would want to spend the money. Like, when they found out how much money this would actually cost them to pull off, I don't know, like, is it worth it for them? We'll see. Like, the NBA gets so much money from the television revenue that, you know, it's worth it for them to spend $200 million to do this if they have to. You know what I mean? Or $300 million.
Exactly.
They, you know, the NHL will be like, listen, yeah, we can take over North Dakota, guys, but it's going to cost us $225 million. Like, you know what I mean? You got to pay for 700 rooms for these guys. So think about it. Yeah, we got to pay for, like, and it's not free. So we got to pay for every hotel room for every guy in the NHL, essentially. We got to pay off this town of Fargo and everything. We're going to have to take care of them. Like, dude, like, we're talking, like I said, we're talking like building a city, McInnes. You got to build your old hospital. Like the NFL could do it. The NFL could say, whatever. We're going to spend $350 million to build some little, like, NFL world. We're getting $4 billion from the network. It's a joke. Like, well, of course we have to do it. The NHL could say, well, you know, we're going to lose money doing this, and it's a risk factor. I just don't see it happening for hockey.
Yeah, if everything hits the fan for NHL, then that's a big, big loss. But like you said, the NHL, they bank more on filling their seats. You know, you talked
You're
about
exactly
it with
right.
The Marlins and MLB. I mean, they don't really worry about it as much. And same thing with NBA. They've got so many TV deals.
You're right. The NHL financially would almost be better for them. You're right. To bite the bullet and not refund tickets and say, we'll give you tickets next year. We're playing next year. And because, yeah, you're exactly right. The NBA, yeah, they like the gate, but it's not really the be-all, end-all for them. The NFL doesn't matter. Like, the NFL, it's like they could give two shits. Like, you know, the NFL without fans, the NFL with fans makes like $6.6 billion. The NFL without fans makes $5.9 billion. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, all right, whatever. But you're right. The NHL, they count on. In fact, I know the number because I saw some post about it. Essentially, it's about a third of their revenue. It's like 30. I saw it was the Calgary Flames and the Winnipeg Jets. It was like 35 to 39% of their revenue came from like ticket sales.
Wow,
it's a lot.
And Gabe, I wanted to mention, because earlier in the day I was talking about this and thinking hard about which teams are really impacted the most by the home advantage or going out of the road. And what we saw last year, actually, in the Bruins series versus the Leafs, every team that was the road team actually won and were successful in those games. So the road team did well, but I think it's the wild card teams. It's teams that are kind of the 8th seed or 7th seed. And I think that would apply as well for the NBA, that they need that home court. You know, the teams that are the 1 or 2, they can go out there and play spoiler. They can play the bad guy on the road. But
crazy as it sounds, I think it could help the Leafs. You're right. In a sense that, you know, the Leafs choke at home all the time under pressure. They're actually better on the road. Like, they, in the playoffs and stuff, they get home. They don't play their game. They get too fancy and they don't win. You're right. Some teams, it'll help inadvertently. And I totally agree with you. Like, there's a talk of, like, and I think baseball, same thing. There's a lot of money at stake with baseball. So baseball is going to try to pull this off too. And play like an 81-game season or, you know, 75 games or something. and me and Cam brought it up. Don't take a look at the worst teams. Like, the Detroit Tigers aren't winning the World Series this year, even if they play an 81-game season. But I agree with you. Like you said, you look at those sort of mid-tier teams that don't suck. You know what I mean? They're okay. They can suck, but they can be good. In a shortened sort of spurt, bro, they can get hot. And good teams can get cold. Right? Like, you know, it hurts. Look at Tampa. Tampa was rolling. It felt like, I know every year is their year, but Tampa, you know what I mean? And now what? You know what I mean? It's like, it's, I think it totally helps those mid-tier teams way more so than the top-tier teams.
Definitely. You know, they're going out on a random location that was selected by the NHL or selected by the NBA, to use both those examples. And it's like, okay, guys, this is our location. And what you're saying about kind of having like an NFL world or an NBA world, it kind of reminds me of the Olympics. You know, they have Athletes Village, it's called. And I'm sure most of your listeners know about that. But it's going to be the exact same thing. So, you know, it's everybody confined in one location. So a lot of the jitters, and I think Gabe, a lot of people really underestimate the fact that these guys are professionals and they're professional athletes. But, you know, matchups-wise, experience is a huge thing in the playoffs. So if you're a pair of goaltenders or some young defensemen in the league and it's your first playoff game and, you know, you're going on the road to play at TD Garden or somewhere like
that's another good point.
That's intimidating. It's intimidating.
That's intimidating.
You know?
Look, I brought it up. Like, look at the Houston Astros. These son of a bitches might dodge a bullet, not have to deal with one angry fan for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
The Astros were going to go on the road, and that was going to be the thing. But it's a good point. You're on fire today. It's a good point that athletes don't care about fans. Like, they really don't. Like, when teams lose on the road and stuff, it's not because of the fans. It's not because of the arena. It's not because of the fans. It's because of the road trip. You know what I mean? Like, teams will lose on the road because they're tired of being on the road. They're tired of, like, you know, it's like, God, we've been on the road for 11 days. It's a pain in the ass. You know, I've been in five cities. You know, it's the middle of the season, and it's harder to mail it in, like, at home, too. That's another thing. Like, people often, oh, on the road. It's like, you're on the road. You didn't try as hard. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Like, you didn't try as hard. Like, as crazy as it sounds, but they packed it up. You know what I mean? They're not going to get booed. Like, you know what I mean? A team's not going to roll over at home, McInnes. You know what I'm saying? And just quit. Like, people are going to be like, what the hell? I pay money for this. On the road, you're, well, you know, they're not our fans here anyways. You know, it's like one of those type of deals. And you know, they'll just tap out a little bit quicker. Interesting dynamics. All right, we've got about 5 minutes left here. The NFL draft, that's not hypothetical. It is taking place. We got about a week and a half, a little more than a week and a half for the NFL draft. I've seen you tweeting about it. What are you looking at as far as the props are right now for the draft? What's caught your eye?
Yeah, just first off, Gabe, I'm like yourself. I'm just fired up to have something normal to bet on. So just had to get that out there. It's pretty exciting. And I've definitely been looking at it a lot.
Yeah, at least it's real. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think I probably a more popular one a lot of people are touching on is Tua. His over-under is set at 3.5 drafted. And I'm on the over, Gabe. Look, I think a lot of people think there's like draft speculation with the Lions with their pick or who they're going to look for. But I'm going to go with the whole angle with just the injury. I think there's a lot of great QBs out there. I think that, you know, people will wait on him. I think he goes 5. And, you know, I think at 3.5, I think number 1 and number 2 are already decided with Burrow and Chase Young. So that just leaves 3. And I have a few guys that I can see right now going over 2 at number 3. And that's all we need is top 3 guys. So I've got that locked in. I've got Tua locked in over 3.5 draft picks. And, that's one that I really like. So that's the first one I'm on. And I'm also on CeeDee Lamb as the first wide receiver drafted at +180. I really like the whole, you know, first running back, first wide receiver, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
As far as that first running back drafted, it has DeAndre Swift. And one pick I really like is Xavier McKinney. I got him under 25.5. And I've been reading that they think it's going to be a lot of an offensive type first round in this draft, very offensive draft. But I think he brings a lot, and he's going to cover a lot of space. Look out for like the Chargers, maybe the Cowboys, the Raiders, a team like that to try and get some downfield coverage defense. So those are some props I'm on so far.
McKinney will be the first safety taken. It'll be interesting to see. I think it's a fair number. Yeah, I know now, and it's been changing. These props change on a daily basis. He was at 25.5. I could see him being drafted right around there. But you raise a good point. Look, some people think there could be, you know, six wide receivers taken in the first round this year. You know, at least five. I mean, you know, the prop is 6.5, although it's pretty big money to the over right now. But I'll tell you, McKinnis, with all every time, like when teams take all these wide receivers, well, what do you need to stop these wide receivers? Other teams in the divisions are like, shit, these guys are loading up on wide receivers. We got to load up on our secondary here. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like there's always room. And that's a positive for McKinney that all these teams are going to be taking wide receivers. And another team's going to say, well, we're going to have to stop these wide receivers that these other teams are taking. So McKinney looks good there. CeeDee Lamb is interesting, and I like the value there as well. And it's, you know, it's interesting because before it was not quite a pick'em, but it was pretty close to a pick'em between Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb, who was going to be taken first, and the first wide receiver taken. And the money, you know, the media hype is in on Jeudy right now. There hasn't been a lot of media hype about CeeDee Lamb over the last couple of days or week or so. I haven't really seen his name anywhere. But I'm with you. I think CeeDee Lamb is an explosive player that I think that's worth a roll of the dice that he goes before Jerry Jeudy. Not everybody's in love with Jerry Jeudy with NFL GMs. You know, like Alabama wide receivers are sort of hit or miss. I think that they're and also, I think, you know, CeeDee Lamb is just so explosive and dynamic. He does more than Jeudy. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if CeeDee Lamb goes before him as well. But you can find – where can people find you, McKinnis? SportsMemo.com, and where can they find you online?
Yeah, on Twitter, at McGinnis Picks is my handle, McInnis Picks. And, you know, not too much to tweet out right now, Gabe, as far as picks, but I'll try and get some of my draft stuff up and – you know, some sports takes that we can find. And, of course, as sports slowly come back, you know where to find me.
Great stuff, McKinnis. Thanks for the time. Get on a grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.